edition of the J Train Podcast. This is J Train Jared Free coming live from Boca every Monday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every episode. Let me say it again. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling a friend. That's how this whole thing works. You listen to the show. You enjoy the show. You laugh at the show. We, my guests and I, let take the wheel of your brain and let you put your thoughts on the shelf. You let us take over. That's how it works. You send in your emails. We answer your questions. And you tell a friend, a coworker, a brother, a sister, a mama, a papa, anyone with ears. We'll take the earless community as well. Anyone you'd like. And make it your Instagram story. That's a passive way to get in people's faces. Because everyone's looking. Everyone's looking, judging, watching, touching. Get that. Oh, what's this? Who'd you tag in that picture? Oh, I'll take a look at their profile. Oh, it's blocked because their profile is private. Now we go back to the original picture. Let's look at everyone else. Everyone's doing what you are doing. And that's what the whole game here is. You make it your Instagram story. Someone looks at it and goes, who's this J Train character? Who is this guy with the eyebrows? Send him along. Let them know. Let them know without you having to let them know. Because, listen, I get it. I understand the rebuttals. I'm not a podcast person. I don't know how to use the internet. What's a phone? Yeah, they all say bullshit to you because no one wants to change. No one wants to do anything different in their life. Again, we put out the cheese. You just got to spread it around for me. Because I'm putting out Instagram videos every episode. So, on Instagram, it's very easy. A quick share, a quick tap of the finger, tap, tap, tap. And keep sending your emails, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. We got screenshot emails, always need more of those. Any dating, lifestyle questions you have, send them on in. I got shows, people. If you're listening right now, San Francisco, California, Pittsburgh, Omaha, Salt Lake, Kansas City, Denver, Columbus, Newark, Providence, Nashville, Dayton, Albany, jaredfree.com, jaredfree.com. Assemble the group chat, baby. Get them all together. The show's been a blast. Thank you if you've been coming. And if you're coming and you've already got those tickets, that's amazing. Keep bringing the crew. Your parents. Someone was like, can I bring my parents? Yeah, bring those fucking parents. I love a mama and a papa. I love seeing them in the crowd wide-eyed. They're like, what am I doing here? What's going on? And then by the end, we're hugging. I'm making out with your dad. It's great. And your mom. It's weird. But we get you involved with a hug. Make it less weird. You're in. Very, very excited about today's guest. He has a brand new special as a part of the stand-up season 3. He's episode 1. Hilarious comic. Brian Simpson, thank you for coming on.
Thank you. That's on Netflix, by the way.
It's on Netflix. Listen, people, get on your Netflix. Go get on your parents' account. We know you're not paying for it. Someone's paying for it. How has the feedback been so far? You know, the Netflix special is like, you know, that's it's like a gold ring. It's got to feel good. And did it go up at midnight and all of a sudden, you know, you're getting messages, tweets, all that stuff? Or is it a slow burn?
Oh, no, definitely. No. Like right away it started, you know, and I gained, you know, 10,000 followers. And then the next day, you know, 8,000, and the next, you know, it just kept going up and up and up, and messages from left and right. And it's still happening now because, you know, different celebrities have started to share it, you know, and so right when it seems like it's going to slow down, someone shares it and then it starts again.
What's the coolest celebrity for you?
Probably Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx. Now that's he's like a quadruple threat. Like this is actor, singer, comedian. He does it all.
Yeah, like maybe the greatest entertainer of our generation.
Totally agree. He never gets, like, I mean, people, I don't think anyone disagrees with that, but never, it's not talked about maybe enough.
Right. Because it wasn't just that he did all those things, but he did all those things at the highest level. He had stand-up, sitcom, music career, acting,
people forget the sitcom.
Like the sitcom, forget the sitcom.
The sitcom went long enough to get into, you know, the
syndication.
The syndication territory. Like, if you think of, like, you know, syndication used to be like a thing. Nowadays, if you think about like a show getting into syndication, like that's literally winning the lottery.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you don't have to work after that. I mean, look, none of the Friends people, what do you see them doing? I mean, maybe Jennifer Aniston. But what do you see the rest of them doing?
I think if you're in that territory, you work because you want to work. Like, you got nothing better to do. And that's that's the best type of work. The one that, you know, that's the type of work everyone wants, where it's like no pressure. No one's even looking at you. What do you care if this works out or not? I'm going back to my mansion.
Yeah, like I think that, look, you know, not her, but the other people, that's the best thing to do. Like, be on something that's a hit and then fade into the sunset and never have to work again.
Yeah. I guess, you know, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, like, she has three different shows, major successes. Like, if you think of Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Seinfeld, Christine, and Veep.
And Veep, yep.
And yeah, you're like, man, she's getting residuals and off of all three.
Yeah, man. She's a beast. She's a force. But you know, it's like, for every success story like that, there's like 100,000 people that are.
I mean,
you know, where, you know, they went through all the same struggle as like a struggling actor, and then they get all the way to filming something, and then it doesn't come out.
Well, you hear about that a lot, especially as stand-ups. We hear, like, you'll hear like, oh, that person had a development deal. They had the deal and they made the plot, the pilot. And you're like, I guess it would be easy to go to dreamland. Like, it's easy at that point. You're like, oh, I'm going to be, you know, Seinfeld. And they make one episode and everyone's like, Mr. Simpson, can I get you anything? And you got an assistant right away. And then you got like the craft right. services. And you're like, wow, I'm Seinfeld. This is crazy. But you haven't even started the race yet. If you're on that like pilot type of era.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, the whole way that the business works is completely different now.
I mean, well, that's the major thing. Like, going back to Jamie Foxx, like, the idea that we forget he had a sitcom. And, like, back in that day, whatever, you have a sitcom. There was a bunch out there every night at 8 o'clock. Every channel would roll theirs out. Now it's like there's, what, three? And then everything else is like a one season, and we'll see.
Yeah, and you know the wild shit about Jamie is he was a movie star last.
Yes.
Like, most of the time when people look, when they go for multiple things, like, they're a star first and then they go to do other stuff. But he was a movie. Yeah. He was a movie star last. Like, that's like a great actor at the end. You know, it's like, how's it the last skill of his that we are aware of?
Well, you would have to assume they caught up to him. Like, that means, I would assume that means there were doubters. Like, that he could be, because if it takes, you know, usually you're plucked from obscurity, just like you said, like, you're in the movies, kid. And for him to have to be like, well, I guess I'll do stand up. I guess I'll do a sitcom. I guess I'll do I'll sing and I'll have a top, you know, 10 hit.
Oh, and we forgot about the sketch. In Living Color.
In Living Color. I mean, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, so he shares the special. That's one of those people you go, I have total respect for your work. And now you respect mine. That's got to be a huge thrill.
Oh yeah, man. I mean, it was something that I really wasn't expecting. It kind of came out of the blue. But
what was it? A tweet or an Instagram post? What was the post?
Yeah, he shared a clip of mine. He shared it on his page. Like, he put it on. He posted. He reposted it
on his Instagram feed.
Yeah, on his feed. That, yeah.
Well, you must have opened Instagram and been like, "What the fuck just happened?"
Oh yeah. Well, you know what? That started happening a while back. So I knew exactly what it was. Like, if I wake up and I got, you know, 500 messages or something like that, I know that it's like, oh, a famous person has said something about me, or because you know, it happened maybe a year and some change ago. Like, before I shot the special, you know, I woke up and, like, you know, someone had mentioned me on Joe Rogan.
Okay.
You know, and I woke up like, what the fuck? Oh, wow. Okay. And it was so that so it started happening after that. You know, then it was like Bert Kreischer and Ari Shaffir recently, and you know, just the comedian sphere.
Yeah, the Rogan sphere. Yeah, that
Yeah,
crew.
the Rogan sphere. Yeah.
So I mean, and then it ends up taking up your day. Your whole day is like, okay, I wouldn't. It's that's the thing with social media. It's like it's tough to take your eyes off it. You have a day like that, and you're like, I guess this is
Yeah.
what I do now. I just look at random faces, you know, joining whatever I'm doing.
Yeah, and it used to be like a day or two. Now it's been like a week
Yeah.
of waking up, and because I you know I thought it would be all at once, but someone explained to me like no, like everyone doesn't wake up and watch your special the day it comes
No.
out.
No.
So it's gonna be a trickle, you know.
It's the weird part about like Netflix. Like it finds people. You know, it's
Right.
like, you know, all of a sudden, all it takes is like one. You know, the weird part about Netflix is like something like Squid Game could pop off, and somehow your stand-up is connected to Squid Game, and they're like, if you like this, you'll like this. Like, you have
Oh,
no
right.
idea, you know, like, you have no idea.
But it's also like there, you also got to remember, like, there's hundreds of thousands of people that just have it. Like, for example, the first my first thing was on I was on Your Mom's House on Tom Segura's podcast,
Okay.
right? And that was a few years ago, and I was on there a few times, and I did the Two Bears One Cave and all of that, so I'm very plugged into that fan base.
Yeah.
And so a few years go by, I've been on Rogan twice. I got the stand-up special, blah blah blah. And I'm the other day, maybe like a week or two ago, Tom is in LA at the theater, and I'm not on the show, but I just swing through to say hi. I haven't seen him in a while, right?
Yeah.
And I go to the wrong door for the VIP list or whatever. They're like, yo, you got to go around the back of the building. So I walk around this whole building, and I have to walk by this line of hundreds of people that are waiting to get in,
Yeah.
and they're all his fans.
Oh my
And
God.
I'm thinking, oh, someone's going to recognize me. Obviously,
Sure.
not a single fucking person recognizes
There is nothing worse
me.
than anticipating recognition
I know,
and
because I've
getting
never.
no, because you're legitimately walking a different way. You're
Right, right.
walking by that line a little bit different than you would walk by a line where you didn't see maybe someone recognizing
Well,
you.
it's the first time I've ever done that. And so every single other time I've been recognized in public, it's always caught me off guard. You know,
And
then
that's the
this. It,
fun, that's the fun version of recognition. Like you were given a gift, they were given a gift 'cause you're excited about the recognition. Like it's all a
right.
good thing. And then
And
this is
then this is the one time where I'm like, well, surely someone will see your boy.
let me
Nope,
suck it
nobody.
in. Let me walk right. Like I'll get
Yeah.
my pen ready. I've had that happen. In certain, like I have, like I'll never forget it. I was at Sidel's, is a very high-end Jewish restaurant. I don't know how else to describe it, but they do.
Okay.
Sidel's is like it's like they've made Jewish food fancy somehow, and it's in
Okay.
New York. And I remember going there, and you know, people who go Sidel's is like a bunch of Jewish women hanging out there. And that was the first time I walked in there, and that was the first time I had like literally like a table next to us be like, Jared, I listened to the podcast. And I was like, and then I was like thinking about it. And I was like, oh, this is like the center, like this is legit the center of the wheelhouse for me, like Jewish women. You know, like I was like, oh, okay. Now I do the walk that you did with the line at the Segura thing. You know, high holidays near temples. That's when I start walking big. Like
I have
that anticipation too. Well, listen, the special is great. Everyone's got to go watch it. Brian Simpson at BS Comedian on Instagram. Go follow. Get him the Jewish lady audience that he's been yearning for. So at BS Comedian on Instagram, the stand-up season 3. It's episode 1. He's got a new podcast, BS with Brian Simpson. It's out there, people. BS with Brian Simpson. Go, go, go. Are you ready to answer some emails?
Let's do it.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Help, my ex loves my cookie. Okay. Jared, I've been keeping this to myself and thought, who better to talk about this with than the ever so talented Jared? Well, thank you. My ex and I were together for 4 years. He broke up with me about 6 months ago because he has a few years or so. Because he's a few years or so older and wanted to move in, settle down, etc. with me. Things I did not want to do. Anyway, not the point. Well, good. Thanks for writing what didn't matter. He's obsessed with my cookie. I said we should go I'm not sure if she means an actual cookie or her vagina, but I mean, we're going to find... I don't know why the innuendo.
Yeah, because cookie is one singular cookie. So that makes me think vagina.
Vagina.
Okay, I don't know.
We're going to find out. He's upset. I don't know. Just obsessed with sex with me. I don't know. But the cookie, let's see. I'm hoping it's an actual cookie because I want the recipe. I want to find out what she's putting in it. Like, that's almost more interesting to me than vagina. But okay. I said we should do no contact. However, he'll sometimes message me, which I respond to, but cut the convo short. The context of so many of his messages are along these lines. I know we can't catch up, but let me know if you ever want me to eat your cookie. This is the strangest languaging I've ever had on the show.
Wait a minute, is she saying cooking?
Cooking. COOKIE. Right.
Yeah, that's definitely the box.
It's got to be. Box is more normal than cookie.
Yeah.
I feel gross. Like that. You know when someone else has like a word for something, you're like, I feel gross about this.
Right. That's a pervert's word. Cookie.
Yeah. Or it's a word you share. It's almost like I'm in the relationship with you.
Oh, right.
Like ew, it's the difference between like my dad and someone saying dad. It's like, that's not my fucking dad.
Right. Yeah. It's like, it makes me feel voyeuristic.
Yes. So his text messages are along the lines of, I know we can't catch up, but let me know if you ever want me to eat your cookie. I'm driving past your house. Do you want me to eat your cookie? I'm sorry your dog died. Let me know if you want me to eat your cookie. I'd like to think maybe one day we could be friends, but this whole cookie talk is making it seem difficult. Don't get me wrong. It's great to feel wanted, but it's also a bit annoying to feel like a sex object. I respond 100% no and never, none of that. We're just friends, etc. No screenshots as I delete our convos for no reminders. What's a nice yet clear response when he says these things? And do you have any experience on how to be friends with an ex? I've been dating and I'm happy living a single life, but also miss him. Sincerely, the Cookie Monster victim. So what do you think, Brian Simpson?
Stop being friends with your exes.
Yeah.
Block on her. Because with this lady, which you're not ready to admit, is that as low quality as this attention is, it's better than nothing. And you keep him around for when you got nothing.
Yeah.
And you're complaining about it. Yes. Block that man. If you're not going to let him eat the cookie, you know, unless you slipped up a time or two, block the man.
Yeah, you got to block him. I mean, also, like, she probably feels some guilt. I mean, she's saying, literally, she says, he wants to move in, become more, be together. And then she's like, no, that's not what I want. So she broke off a relationship with someone who is hypothetically good enough. She was like, because she was willing to sit there in that relationship if they didn't move on to more serious things. So she ended it. So I think there's a sense of guilt for why she hasn't blocked this guy and she's clinging to this false friendship because he's not acting like a friend. If my friend was like, let's put this in real terms. If my friend kept calling me like, hey, Did you make cookies? Did you make cookies? Did you make cookies? Did you make cookies? I'd be like, shut the fuck up. I don't make cookies anymore.
Yeah.
I'd be annoyed.
You know, the clearest way to tell somebody they can't eat your pussy is to stop talking to them completely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
block them on everything.
I think she asked, what's a nice yet clear response when he says these things? And do you have any experience with how to be friends with an ex? Friendship is out of the question right now. Friendship can happen naturally. You know, like friendship can be, you know, like Brian and I, we just met doing this podcast. If I saw you, we're not friends today. I saw you in LA, I would go up to you and go, hey man, good to see you. Saw you, you know, or thanks for doing my podcast that one time. You might go, oh, I was on that podcast. That was a fun time. Cool. What are you doing here in LA? We'd have a conversation. I don't know. I'm just sitting here. Then we have a beer. Then we, you know, sit. Then you become friends. That's how friendship works. If it happens by accident. This whole idea that they're now friends because they're not lovers is crazy.
You can't unravel that in the friends.
No.
Because a lot of people have different views on this. Because I know mostly women that are like, I'm friends with all my exes. That's a red flag.
You can't.
Because to me, it's like you only got a certain amount of emotional bandwidth.
Right? Yes.
So for me, it's like a bank. It's like, yo, are you banking with Brian? Then why you still got money over there in that account?
Yeah.
What is it there for?
It's a little bit like they're micro dosing the feeling of friendship. Because you're not getting a full friendship thing with your ex. You're getting a text every now and again. It's not like you're making, you know, these two aren't even making plans to see one another. It's just, hey, I'm driving by your house. Can I eat your cookie? Like, you're getting, and the phones don't help this. Because go ahead.
Here's what's confusing to me, though. When it comes to fellatio or cunnilingus, it seems to me like somebody begging to do it is real good at it.
You would think that they have confidence in their maneuvers. You would. They're not asking to embarrass themselves. Yeah.
No, right. Because no one has ever begged me to do it has ever been like, I'll take it or leave it. No, it's always been like, whoa, right?
Holy shit. So, they got something to show me.
So this is where this confuses me, is because if they were in a relationship together, I'm guessing he's done it before.
I can answer this for you.
Okay.
Because here's what's happening. He knows he's lonely. That's the only reason he keeps reaching out to her. He got dumped by someone he wanted to be more serious with. And now maybe he's not good at eating the cookie, quote unquote, but he's good at it with her. He knows her body. He knows they trust each other. They've been naked to eat together. So he is not ready to move out there and get turned down by people that he's not sure about whether he can impress. He knows he has done, and guys do this. We hold on to people we have done well with in the past
because
there's a low chance of embarrassment. There's an ego. Right. You get to keep your ego. Right. You get to, she goes, I always remember you were good at that. So he is coming to you kind of for an ego boost. And so, I mean, I think we're both saying none of this is real. None of this. So you need to get rid of this false idea that you are a possibility. I think if you do send a text, I think the text starts with, hey, I am blocking you. Not because I hate you, but because I need to get away from this relationship and you are not taking the hint. So it's almost letting him know, like, you are not letting me get away to make my own life and we are not friends anymore. He needs, I think, and it's immediate block, immediate unfollow, game over.
Or you could go mean, like, hey,
okay,
somebody else is eating the cookie better.
I found a new cookie monster.
Right. I found a new cookie monster, man.
The J Train podcast is brought to you by Foria. Sex should be fun, but if you experience pain or discomfort during sexual intimacy, just like 75% of all women do, it's time to give Foria a try. Foria's line of plant-based CBD-infused products are here to put the FUN back in SEX. I gotta say, I love this. I love that this is an option. This is something to change it up a bit. And Foria is gonna let you do that in a fun and safe and really good way. And what's good for nature is what's good for our bodies, which is why Foria's products are always organic, plant-based, sustainably sourced. See, they're thinking about what they're putting in these products that can help you to have fun so you can let your mind be at ease while you enjoy that fun time with yourself or your partner. Foria has a huge selection of items to enjoy, including their Awaken Arousal Oil, made with organic broad-spectrum CBD that works with the body to enhance pleasure and arousal and ease discomfort. Sexual pleasure is self-care, so give yourself that all-night-long self-care you deserve. Foria is offering a special deal for my listeners. Get 20% off your first order by visiting foriawellness.com/JTrain. Or use code JTrain at checkout. That's F-O-R-I-A wellness.com/JTrain for 20% off your first order. I recommend trying their Awaken Arousal Oil. You will thank me later. The J-Train Podcast is brought to you by Brooklinen. Let's hear it for the long weekend. Brooklinen has no shortage of savings on all things comforts to celebrate your extra day of lounge. I gotta say, I love Brooklinen. I like that they are cornering the market on comfy. They're the comfy corner. They are gonna get you comfy. I feel like every time I do these personal endorsements, I am writing copy for these people. This is the comfy corner. You think comfy? Think of Brooklinen, because they're not just making sheets, they're doing it all. There's no better time to upgrade your comfort than during Brooklinen's President's Day sale. Brooklinen started with five-star bedding and now goes beyond the bedroom. Their collection includes everything from robes and towels to super soft loungewear, so the cozy just keeps on coming. It's the cozy corner. You think of cozy, you think of Brooklinen. Save yourself some money, time, and sleepless nights with bedding bundles to simplify settling in. I love a bedding bundle. I love saying bedding bundle. There's a reason Brooklinen has over 100,000 five-star reviews and counting. I mean, to get 100,000 five-star reviews is crazy. Don't sleep on savings. Brooklinen's President's Day sale is happening now. Listening after the sale, and that's you because this is coming out after the sale, get the deals of your dreams at brooklinen.com with promo code JTRAIN20. That's JTRAIN20. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Use code JTRAIN20. JTRAIN podcast at gmail.com. Here with Brian Simpson at BS Comedian. Go follow episode 1, the stand-up season 3. Hilarious. Go, go, go. Pause right now. Get on your Netflix. Put it on the queue. Have it for a date night. Put it on a Saturday night. Make it a night. They're a half hour long, a perfect length. You and whoever you're seeing, you and your cookie monster. Bar kisses. Jared, love the podcast. Keeps me sane on my commute to and from work. Here's the situation. I went out with some friends Friday night to the bar/club in my small town. My friend is going through a divorce, so we got a little drunk and we're flirting with everyone who would let us. One guy I was talking to was really great. He asked for my Snapchat and we kissed twice at the bar. We Snapchatted the rest of the night after I left and a few times the next day. The conversation fizzled out though. I really like him. And I'm not the type to kiss strangers in the bar. From a male perspective, do you think it would be weird to ask him if we could hang out? Or should I just accept the fizzle out and hope to see him again next time I'm out? Thanks for your input. What do you think, Brian?
No, shoot your shot.
Shoot your shot.
Yeah.
I think with the Snapchat world, I think a lot of people are, right now in the dating world, I think a lot of people are putting people through levels, so to speak. And they're kind of trust levels. So it's like the idea, because people go, here's my Snapchat first. Let's see how this goes. Now, that could be to establish whether you're a nude sender, whether you're looking to be more sexual. And this can go both ways. Like, I think both. I think if you're writing in wondering, hey, I like this guy, I want to go to a date, own what you want. You don't want to be sending nudes with someone you made out with a bar. That's fine. But he might be testing you for a different thing from the other side. But I think this is what we do. We're the Google generation. We're always checking on menus. We're always like getting ahead of things. We're always making sure our time is worth it. So the idea that he's sending you a Snapchat isn't a negative. It's just the level that he's putting this thing through. And the idea that it fizzled, not a big deal. What I would want to do is put him through levels of my own. So I would say, hearing her email, I want to, she's saying, I want to go on a date with a guy I like. That is a perfect thing to want. I would send over Snapchat. Here's my number. I'd love to get a drink. Make a plan and I'm down. You have now given him all the tools. Don't you think, Brian?
Oh yeah. Yeah. What is she hesitant about, though?
I think what happens is in what she's writing in about, and it's all in the email, always gives the answer, is her saying, should I just accept the fizzle? Have you gotten a number from a woman in a bar that you kind of just let turn into nothing before, but wouldn't mind going out with them? Like, that's basically what she's saying. If he didn't pursue the date, then what am I even doing, is really her question.
But you know what though? Sometimes, and you may not even be aware of this, sometimes you may have showed interest, but you may have said something or done something to show disinterest, which makes him not confident that you were really interested. You know what I mean? Or maybe you didn't show enough interest. You weren't enthusiastic enough. So sometimes it just takes that little bit of boost. You know, it's nothing wrong with just hitting up and going, hey, I thought you were interested. What's going on? You know.
And here's the other thing to add to what you're saying, because I think you're correct. To add to that, you don't know what's going on in their life. Sure, you made out at a bar. I'm not saying this guy was cheating on his wife and family. but I am saying people, the day you found someone isn't the day the person was born. So the day you found someone, they had other people that they're maybe, you know, a month in with or have gone on dates with, and you are someone they met, which that's perfectly fine. There's a lot of our parents are out there having met while also dating someone else a month. So you go, hey, I'm here. What you're doing is you're saying, hey, I'm here. I know what I think. It's hot, more hot to be like, I know what I want. I want a date from you. Here's my number.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Because you know what it is, too? Because I hear women say this often, but it's also true of men, is that when a man is direct and honest, but not, you know, not in a creepy way, that's a turn on because it happens so seldom.
Yes.
But it happens even less with women. When a woman is direct, but not pushy, oh my God, that's so hot. It's like it never happens.
I totally agree. And it's underrated because people go, they don't want to be too aggressive. They don't want to be too much. And it's like, I don't know where that feedback from men ever came from.
It doesn't. Like, you're afraid of rejection. That's what this is.
Perfectly put. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Brian Simpson. Brian, are you seeing anyone? Are you married, engaged? Anything going on in your life relationship-wise?
I'm dabbling. Got my feet in the water.
Okay. Do you use dating apps? How do you dabble?
Nope. I'm old-fashioned. No. Because they never work for me. Because my superpower isn't, there's no picture of me I can post that's going to compete with dating. You know what it is? Dating apps are for dudes that already be slaying it with women anyway.
Interesting.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, there's no picture I can post with a caption under it that's going to make me beat out the guy that's 6'2" with a six pack. So my superpower is charm. I got to meet you in person to be charming. So when I meet everybody in person, everybody that I dated, somebody that I've met before.
It's interesting you say that, because I do believe the apps were built for people without social skills to get them out there. But they are used by the people with social skill, you know, with maybe, you know, the abs and the people who need them the least. Yeah. Get
out
take
of here, sexy
them.
People. You know what it is? It's like the dating apps are like the community gym that was built for the poor kids that can't play. And it would be like, you know, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade coming to your gym.
Yeah.
Every day. It's like, this ain't for y'all.
Get out of here.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Go to the Olympic style one or to the Equinox. Don't come over here to our shitty, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. That's what the apps are for, people. Like, yeah, but they don't work because they're dominated by the fuck boys. I saw a video recently where it was like, you can go on Tinder, you can enter your Tinder into this other website and it'll give you your stats.
Oh my God. I don't want to.
Yeah. Like, it'll tell you how many
who
times
needs
you
that? What? That's like, that's like having the app that shows you who unfollowed you. I don't need it.
Right.
I don't have to see
it's,
that.
Hey, it's crazy. It's crazy. But to watch, so people get their stats and they take screenshots and post them on Reddit. And you'll see that it's like, it's still like 90% of the women are trying to date like 5% of the dudes.
Yeah, I'm not sure what app had this, that it was like maybe it was Hinge that for a minute they had like their most successful people. Maybe it was Bumble where they once a year they like put out a report with the most swiped on people. And it's like, yeah, I knew this already. It wasn't like there wasn't someone on that list that I was like, whoa, right. An underdog's tale. Like, you know, like everyone there, you're like, yeah, I already, I like all the women on there. I'm like, yeah, I've already browsed their Instagram randomly by accident. I didn't even need to see them.
There's nobody on there where you're like, how the fuck did they get the most
Randall? You know, like just some nerd with a pocket protector. He's like, how did it happen? Oh, he just figured it out. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Brian Simpson at BS Comedian. Go follow. Go follow. Go, go, go. Read through boyfriend's texts. Okay.
Oh, no.
JTrain. Huge fan, tagged a bitch, et cetera, et cetera. This afternoon, I told my boyfriend I would go suit shopping with him to give him my opinions. While we were out, I realized I had left my phone at home, and while he was doing some of the fitting stuff, I ended up asking to see his phone just to keep me entertained. Uh-oh, this is fraught with issues already. I know this is not great, but I ended up reading some of his texts, and I completely regret it. I ended up seeing a conversation he had with his brother where he said he felt like things were off. He feels like lately he's not been attracted to me. Sex has been a chore and that he's not sure if he wants to be in a relationship with me because it's a lot of work. I mean, how long was she with this phone? She read the... I was like, how did she get through all that stuff? Meanwhile, he hasn't indicated any of this to me. Lately, I've been the one more so initiating sex and affection, but he still says he loves me. He thinks I'm beautiful, etc. I tried to play it off, but I'm really hurt that he said those things, even if just to his brother, and I'm not sure how to broach the situation with him. I've definitely been through phases with him where I need more space, and I think it's totally fair, and honestly, probably shouldn't have gone through his phone in the first place. What should I do? Do I own up to it and have this conversation with him and ask him how he really feels? Do I play it off and take him at his word that he will tell me when things are really off? I feel like either way, our trust is broken, which sucks. Thanks again. Valentine's Day blues. Oh, this was sent the day before Valentine's Day, too. What do you think,
Brian? Broke the trust. What you doing going through his phone? You know, there's an old saying that what other people think of you is none of your business.
Very true. Went
through this man's phone, and because you never know.
Look at the ambulance is coming to pick up her soul, her dead body from this, this information.
Because all of that is, I know this is crazy to say nowadays, out of context. Because if his brother is this person that he would confide in about this sort of thing, you never know what conversations they may have had afterwards and resolve this. He may have been about to resolve this with you. And now you know he's going through his phone because you're insecure. Going through his phone for fun. That's weird. For fun?
Yeah, I
come on, lady. Like,
the minute you, you go know. Through the phone is the minute the relationship's over.
Exactly.
The minute you, I mean, here's, and I don't know, I'm trying to think of, and again, I'm going to come back to this in a second, but I'll start with her going through the phone. So many people blame themselves for the phone, going through the phone, that they don't want to handle the issue. They're like, they hold it as their cross to bear. And I don't think she should do that. I understand. I don't think you can't unsee what you saw. So like,
right.
We're there. It's, you know, it's Valentine's Day and you're crying and he's like, what's wrong? Oh, nothing. You know, like, what are you going to do? Like,
well, see, but I want her to be honest about why she was going through the phone.
Well, that's the point. You're right.
That's the point. It's like, yeah, you went through the phone already, but you're not being honest with yourself when you go, oh, I was just doing it for funsies because I was bored. No, something else was wrong.
Well, she says in her email, I ended up asking to see his phone just to keep me entertained. I know this is not great, but I ended up reading some of his texts. The minute you had access to it, you felt the need to figure out what the fuck is going on. So the relationship, as Brian's saying, was fraught before looking. There was a problem before looking that you were told you were right about after looking. So the problem still stands. So the idea that, like, should you say nothing? You have to say something. You have crossed a bridge. You
right.
went through with your investigation, found out you were right. Now you got to put some, you know, now there has to be consequences. And that's the problem. And that's why when you start looking through phones, you are down a road, a one-way road. You're not down a two-way street. You can't pull a U-turn. You have walked that way. So let's just, but what you're saying is right. We have to admit to it. There were problems here before that made you go from playing Candy Crush to going to his brother's text. Like, I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, how do you get from this place in the phone to that place in the phone?
You know why?
Distrust.
Because she said she'd been the one lately to initiate sex. Mm-hmm. So she's feeling less attractive. He's not doing it as, you know, he's yep. not as attractive to her. And she felt that. And she assumed that there must have been another one.
Yeah.
And she...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So she assumed there must have been another woman. And that's why she was going through the phone. She was trying to see, he must be banging somebody else if he's not as enthusiastic about sleeping with me.
Here's what's even more... Now that we're talking this out, you're right. She went to the phone. She's not feeling loved. So she goes to the text. She looks for a female name. Finds none. Goes to his most trusted person, his brother, to see what else is there. See, this is and got what she wanted when she, you know, I mean wanted, quote unquote, but got what she thought was there. That's how bad the relationship was before looking, that you not seeing a woman in that first group of texts wasn't enough. You were like, there must be something.
Right.
Which isn't crazy.
The police force.
Right. I want her looking, you know, getting my back, but I'm saying, we're not saying this to shame her. I think we're saying this for the same reason, which is, hey, this relationship ain't right for you. Not for him, for you. You were having problems. You were feeling unloved. You were feeling like someone wasn't living up to your standard enough to look for the phone. I'm not saying that wasn't the mature thing to do. The mature thing to do next time is, hey, I feel unloved. What's going on? I feel unattracted to you because I have to initiate sex. Not the other way around. Not finding out that they're unattracted, so you're unattracted, so now you feel bad. You know what I mean?
Right, right. They lack communication. It's like whenever people, my friends or whatever, come to me about problems with their significant other, the first thing I ask them is, have you discussed this with them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it sounds like neither of you are communicating to each other.
Well, it's interesting because what he's doing is very male and what she's doing is very female. What he's doing is, she's saying, I thought he says I love you, so I'm good, but I really didn't feel great in this relationship. I'll try and fix it along the way. He is going to his brother being like, something's off. I might end this before it gets bad. And it's like, it's a very male right. thing to do. We see the horizon. We see it get more serious and we go, oh, it's getting more serious in a week. I better end it now because it's not great. She sees it's getting more serious in a week. I need to make sure we're okay. We got to fix this. And it's like, so I think this is all to say, you got to go up to him. You got to come clean. Hey, I saw some stuff on your phone. I'm not proud of how I saw it, but we obviously have issues here. Can we talk it out? I think you gotta hit it up straight on.
Right. Yeah. You gotta come clean now, man. The truth will set you free. And obviously, you know, there's gonna be a trust issue after. I mean, first of all, why does he have a lock on his? Oh, he gave it to you.
He gave it to her to play Snake with. Like I she needed yeah. entertainment at the clinic.
You definitely gotta come clean.
You gotta come clean and you gotta say to him, you gotta also put it in I terms. If you come up to him and ask him, what's wrong? Why aren't you initiating sex? He's going to fumble around and not really give a great answer. You got to give some answers about you. Hey, I looked through your phone because I'm annoyed at our relationship. I'm not proud of it. I'm immature, but I'm still not happy in this relationship right now as it is. What's going on?
What you can't do, and I'm guessing this is what you're tempted to do, is you can't try to suss it out. Like, you can't go up and go, you can't now have the right conversation by going, babe, I'm feeling on the track. Is everything fine?
No,
because he's going to lie.
Yes.
He's going to say, yeah, babe, everything fine. And you know he's lying, and that's going to piss you off, and then it's going to blurt out that you know, and that's going to ruin everything. You have to just be clean up front.
Dishonesty produces dishonesty.
Yeah.
Vulnerability produces vulnerability. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Brian Simpson at BS Comedian. Go follow the stand-up season 3. First episode. It's right there waiting for you. Let's do this one. Is it fate or just emotional masturbation? Jared and guest, I absolutely love the pod. Saw you live and you were awesome. This is a little longer, so let's get right to it. Back in high school, I was very into wrestling. I was a stat girl and met many people through it. I was into one of the guys at my rival school, but nothing came of it. Fast forward to now, I'm 25, have a really good job, and travel all over the state as a sales rep. One day, I'm at one of my accounts, and I realize this guy's family owns the company that I sell to. Later that day, I follow him on Instagram. He followed me back, so I window tapped, and nothing came of it. Now, window tap is a term for this podcast, Brian. It's when you go and like a bunch of their Instagram pictures in a row. You're basically like, tap, tap, tap.
Oh, wow.
I'm here. Okay. I'm hard. You know, so in her instance, wet.
What that means?
Yeah, you follow. They follow back. It's the dance of social media. Then you like a bunch. They like a bunch. Then you message. Boom, you're in.
Okay.
It's a little bit of a, it's just like a little bit of a way to get around a full-on, hey, I've been thinking of you, and I think you're cool. Can we go on a date? You know, it's like just a little toes in the water, so to speak.
So we both know that we're both interested before we either of us dives in.
Yeah, and okay. She did everything, and she didn't get the likes back, so she backed off. A few months later, he posted a story, and I swiped up and commented. He then proceeded to DM for about an hour, and at the end of the conversation, he asked me to meet up that week. I agreed, was excited. Later that day, he told me he has to head back to wherever the day we planned to hang. He had to pack his things because he was finishing up school and moving back home. He asked me to hang that night instead. I decided to invite him over. We smoked, had a glass of wine, had a deep convo, and hung out in the hot tub. It felt so natural. It was super fun. We got a little touchy-feely and we made out. After the night was over, he left, kissed me goodbye, and said he will see me soon. I texted him saying I had fun. I hope we talk soon, and he told me absolutely. He went to, I can say the place. He went to Rhode Island, and 3 days after he left, I actually had to go there as well for work. I had a nice room to myself in Newport, so I extended the invitation for him to come and visit one night. He kind of blew me off and said he might be on the mountain. Okay. this is a whirlwind northeastern vacation. I was annoyed, but just brushed it off. Later, I was checking my followers app and noticed he unfollowed me. I was upset because I thought everything was great. So I texted him that if he wasn't interested, he should have just been straightforward. He apologized but never really gave an excuse as to why he unfollowed. He then told me that he wanted to hang in the future and talk about wrestling. When I was in Rhode Island, I reached out because I figured I'd have nothing to lose, but he didn't respond. This was about a month ago, and we haven't talked since. Should I reach out, or is it a complete lost cause? I want to because I feel like we have a lot in common and click so well, but also I don't want to look desperate. I also definitely have been the type to emotionally masturbate. Background info, he's 23, and I believe he is back home, but we now don't follow one another, so I'm unsure. I have to go back to his family business this summer to keep up with it. I also have his board shorts that he left, and he told me he'll get them when we hang out again. Any advice will help. Thanks. What do we think?
I think it's obvious. You know, he's got a roster, and you coming off the bench. You know, that's what it is. It's like you. Because the moment that I heard that you went to Rhode Island, I cringed.
Yeah.
Because I, even though it wasn't your fault, you didn't say what your reason was, but I knew how I would take that. Mm. If I went out of town or I went to some other state and then you popped up in that state, it was like, hey, I happen to be here. That seems crazy.
I won't call it crazy, but I agree with you because I would call it interested. And interested is crazy to the person who just wants to fuck and normal to the person who's really honestly looking to connect with someone. And it's perspectives at that point because she even says, this was about a month ago. I want to because I feel like we have a lot in common and click so well. Brian, what you said in the beginning is so correct. You're on a roster, and to you, he is someone that could be the one. Those are two very different perspectives. Go ahead.
What's unclear to me is, so my judgment about her going to Rhode Island was, I don't know if she told him she was coming, or if she just said, surprise, I'm here.
No, I think she was there for work. And then she had a hotel room because of work. So it's less, those are two different things. Like, she says, I actually had to go there as well for work. I had a nice room to myself in Newport. So she's like, hey, I'm around. I got this nice room. If you're around, let's hang. And that to me is pretty normal. But I would say it's a difference of opinion. And here, guys love vague relationships, and they never cock block their future selves. So this guy, when you say to him, this part of the email is just so interesting to me. I was upset because I thought everything was great, so I text him that if he wasn't interested, he should just be straightforward. He apologized but never really gave an excuse to why he didn't follow. He's never going to tell you he is interested. No, guys don't say, I am uninterested. There's this thing called the ick that women are talking about right now. The ick. You hear it a lot. It's very in vogue. It's very in the lexicon. The ick doesn't exist for men. We are not automatically turned off to never again. We go, oh, I'm interested. Like and interest and horniness is on such a spectrum, but it rarely is in the off the spectrum completely. Right. Don't you think?
Yeah, a man would have to be in serious, like, physical danger to completely be turned off.
You know? Yes.
But there's no ick. Yeah, there's no it. Yeah, he's not as interested as you are.
But he's not interested in the same thing as you. He's interested, but in a very different thing. He's interested in, hey, let's hook up on my schedule. He's also 23. You said he's in school. He's moving back from home. He's not living a lifestyle where he has one night a week to go on a date and meet
the
woman.
How old is she?
She said she's 25 and has a really good job and travels all over the state for as a sales rep. So she's more established, even though she's very young.
And 25 is right when you stop being out of your mind. Everybody before the age of 25 is insane. They, nothing they do makes sense. They don't know what they want. They don't want anything. They're just figuring shit out. And nobody that tells you I'm on the mountain, they up in the mountains fucking. They not down. Yeah. They, like, you're, no one's coming off the mountain. You know what I'm saying?
I know, and he ain't in a rush to get off the mountain for the woman of his dreams. He believes the next woman will be the woman of his dreams, and the next one will be the woman of his dreams. It's different headspaces. And again, asking someone if they're interested will not get you an answer that is honest. It's just not the way it works, especially a guy. Oh, no, we're cool. I love hanging out with you. Oh, I think you're so hot. He's going to say all positive shit because he doesn't know. Maybe one day. But that's not what you're looking for. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Brian Simpson. Go follow at BS Comedian, the stand-up season 3. He has a podcast, BS with Brian Simpson. Go, go, go. Let's do the email I sent you before the show. Let's do a screenshot. You ready?
Okay. All right.
Okay. I'll read the email and then we'll do the screenshots together. Love your work. Been listening for years. Appreciate all of the amazing advice you and your guests have shared. Context. I recently moved across the country to a major Canadian city and had decided to try online dating again since I was looking for something casual and human interaction. The restrictions in my province were so bad that literally everything was shut down and I couldn't even go to the office to talk with coworkers. I downloaded Hinge and met this guy who seemed interesting, smart, into similar music, food, and was 100% my type. Bigger guy, wide shoulders, brunette. This is probably where my horny brain may have misled me. During our week-long conversation on Hinge, I hinted at meeting up in a very normal, casual way, but he never made a move. I let him know that I was deleting Hinge and gave him my number. Hey, I'm deleting Hinge, but here's my number, so text me if you want to make a plan to grab a drink. Our province had just lifted restrictions, so now places were open. But after about 4 to 5 days of texting back and forth, he still hadn't technically asked me out. So she says to read the screenshots here. So let's go to
number one.
She numbered them. Okay. I'll be her.
I like this. Thorough.
I'll be her, you be him. You ready?
Okay. All right. Oh, which one is her?
She's the blue.
Okay. Okay.
It was so good. So I have a question for you.
So what's up?
Is he saying he went for a little Spanglish? Okay. C, what's up? Okay. Why haven't you asked me out yet? Winky face emoji.
I was going to yesterday, but you were with your friend.
I don't think we're on the same wavelength, so I'll say have a great night and good luck.
Just curious what that wavelength is. Laughy, crying face.
I prefer to have a date and get to know someone versus texting for a while.
Okay, wait a minute. My number two is they're out of order.
Yeah, number two.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Same. But I didn't know there was a timer. Anyway, that's too bad. Would have loved to have gone out with you. Shame timing didn't work out.
I didn't get the impression you were interested in making it happen after I gave you my number to plan a date. Upside down face emoji. You are very much my type and seem like a cool guy, but I get turned on by a plan.
There's another box of hers.
Well, he responds to, he doesn't response one to, I didn't. Go to number three.
Okay. Yeah, texting isn't great for that.
Okay.
Thank you. You also seem pretty cool. Did bars and restos even open yet? So I guess she ignores
me. She's done. The next day.
Yeah. Hey, so I was just thinking that I should say something. I get what you're saying about a plan. I guess I'm more spontaneous than a planner. If you're still down and free, I'd love to get a drink with you on Friday night. That's another one. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Okay. And then she writes, hey, blank. Thanks for making a plan, winking face emoji. I'm actually busy Friday, but I'm free Saturday night if you want to meet around 6.
Okay, he doesn't respond to the next day. Hey, I went to bed early. Oh, next morning. Yeah. Hey, I went to bed early yesterday. I actually have a tattoo appointment at 6 on Saturday.
And then she responds later that morning. Okay, no problem. Hope it goes well.
It's just a small one. I'll probably be done by 8 or 9. Jesus, man.
Oh, no. This guy's cagey.
What it is, you know what it is? This is one of those guys that I'm guessing this is one of those guys that is so good looking that he doesn't have to have any game, that girls always talk to him. And now that he has to do it over distance, he doesn't know how to talk. Because this is something I've learned. Women will give you what they want.
Yes.
And so, for example, when she was busy, when she told you, no, I'm busy, she immediately told you when she would be free, which tells you that she's interested. And then you tell her, oh, sorry, I'm busy. And then you don't pick up the hint.
She's very direct.
Yeah, that's a no to her. You have to, when someone says, okay, I put it like this. When you want to spend time with somebody, you make time. Right?
Absolutely. But
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead, please.
So it's like all she's asking, because I've never had this before. Usually when you mess up that interaction, they done. This woman was literally giving you step-by-step instructions.
She is a listener of this podcast. She gave the make a plan to graduate. She gave the advice I gave in the email before. Make a plan and I'm there. And this guy, I don't think he's as dumb as you're thinking he is. I think this is all calculated. I think this guy wants casual. I mean, I can tell it from his last text.
But so does she.
She wants a plan. She's been very direct.
Oh, right.
She gave him retribution. She said, make a plan. Then he comes back. He goes, hey, I've been thinking about it. So I was just thinking I should say something. So now she's like, okay, maybe he learned his lesson. And then she writes, I'm busy on Friday, free Saturday, if you want to meet around 6. And then he goes, I have a tattoo appointment on 6 on Saturday. And she goes, no problem. He can still make that plan. How about you propose Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday? He doesn't. Then he goes, it's just a small one. I'll be done by 8 to 9. So now he's looking for a casual late night plan in response to her very not casual 6 p.m. let's get to know each other plan.
Oh, okay. I didn't pick up on that.
Exactly. This guy, the thing is, Brian, I live in a world where nobody's much smarter than me and nobody's much dumber than me. This guy isn't that dumb. She has been nothing but forthright, nothing but direct, and he is being cagey at every fucking turn.
Yeah, she must be real horny.
Well, she's into him. She even said, I'm into your look, but just give me a date that makes me feel good about meeting up with you. And he can't even do that. She writes, note that bars and restos didn't even open yet. Doesn't make sense since before that, we had been talking about how I went out for ramen with a colleague that weekend, which he mentions. After he replied about probably being done around 8 to 9, I just gave up and we haven't talked since, which I'm okay with. I'm trying to learn from this situation. I know I could have made a plan myself, but this isn't what I was looking for. I totally agree with her. That's okay. You don't have to make the plan. You wanted to feel good about giving him all the tools to build the house, and then he came over back with all the tools, and he was like, I don't know what to fucking do. Now you're unattractive. Good for you. She played it perfectly because she's not playing a game. He is. So I understand. She writes, do you think I could have worked with him a bit more to finalize timing? No. Did he make enough of a plan? No. It just seems, didn't seem like he was interested. He's interested in something. He's not interested in what you were interested in. I didn't want to have to convince him to meet with me. Was mentioning the type thing weird? No, I don't think it was weird. I think that in that moment, I was trying to remind him that I wasn't looking for anything serious, which is something we had kind of touched on before since he is moving after schooling is done. How could I have phrased this a bit better? What do you think, Brian? Anything to add? I know I've gotten charged up about this, but I'm like,
No, man, because you know what?
I believe in her.
When you started reading the email, I was against her. Mm. And even when we started reading the text, I was against her.
Okay.
But towards the end, I mean, you convinced me. you're right. She did all the, because I've been through similar situations where it's like, where sometimes you start texting with somebody and they're too demanding, mm-hmm. you know, or they're like, or it's like, oh, we've texted. When do I get to meet your family? Or, you know, mm-hmm. it's like they want too much from the thing. And I thought that that's where this was going. But no, she was perfectly reasonable. She showed as strong an interest as one can expect without sounding desperate.
Totally.
And she gave him all the tools. She was basically like, here is a map to my vagina.
Totally.
And he is lost at sea. He's like,
he's holding he's holding the map upside down because he's hoping that the vagina will move to a more convenient place for him.
Right. Like, yeah.
This vagina work, you know?
Yeah. And I think, I mean, you could go all day back and forth about how you phrase things and how you worded things. But when you give somebody 19 clues, it doesn't matter if one of the words is misspelled in one of the clues. It's like you gave this guy everything. And some people are just shit people. There's nothing you could have done to solve this puzzle.
She brought the horse to water, and then the horse looked at her and said, can you put it in a cup and put it right to my mouth? It's like, no. Right. Fucking right. Bend your head down and start drinking.
Right. Like, this is, yeah, I don't think you should feel bad at all about this.
No,
yeah.
Move on from this. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Brian Simpson, thank you for coming on. You were fantastic. So great to meet you.
Thanks for having me, man. This was fun.
This was a blast. Everyone go follow Brian at BS Comedian. The now stand-ups.
I'm going to go not follow any of the advice that we gave.
Go. Go watch Brian's special. Everyone's talking about how funny Brian is. I've watched. It's great. Fantastic. So funny. Make it a date night. Make it a night. Go follow at BS Comedian. I'm Jared Freed. We're here every Monday with your emails, your stories, your questions. And we'll be back next episode. Boom.